Open up your holy word. We ask now that you would increase and we would decrease. You would be glorified and we would be edified. That we would always leave this place a little better than we came. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, it is good to see you all again. And Sam, are we working on all four cylinders now? Okay, everybody's joined us. We apologize for the technical difficulties that we're having. And, we're getting better. Amen. We're getting better. You know, technology, somebody said technology is great when it works. So sometimes we just have to have patience. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you all. Had a week off, had a wonderful week off. Got away, missed all the snow. You all didn't get snow. They kept saying you all didn't get. Amen. Always say, and I doubt very seriously that any weather people are listening to me, but they're the only ones I know that can keep their job all through you all. Amen. And if they are listening to me, they'll probably send me an email. But that's fine too. But I just wish I could just have a job like that where, you know, I don't have to be right. It's got to be somewhere in the ballpark, you know. I get to keep, y'all keep watching them every week, don't y'all? Y'all dress accordingly. Well, it's going to slow down. I just wait. When I wake up in the morning, I see what it's going to be like, and then I just go ahead and forgive myself for that. Amen. That's a better system. Y'all should try that. Spring is in the air, though. Amen. I saw some buds on my trees. Amen. That means life is what? Still going on. Despite the pandemic, God's still in control. Amen. Life is still moving. Amen.
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 See, I get excited about what God does. Amen.
Amen.
How he knows that every year, well, in our area anyway, that the seasons change. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to bust loose with some cherry blossom down in D.C. Amen.
Amen.
And I might be able to go see them. That's not going to be a whole lot of folk down there. Amen. There's a lot of people down there. And I can go down and see the cherry blossom like I used when I was a kid. All these things are happening. I want you to get excited about life. I know they keep showing y'all on it because y'all watch too much news. Every time you see a news, 500,000 die, we clip that, and they just keep going on and on. All of a sudden, y'all be walking around like this. Oh, life is done. But it's not. It ain't over until God says it's over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I'm excited about what he's doing in the life of his people. Amen. And so while I was away, I told you guys I'm in Psalms. So every now, well, last week, well, week before last. Well, first of all, I want to thank our Elder Bradshaw for last week. Amen. And I listened to his message intently. I got excited. Matter of fact, when I taught last Sunday, I tried to teach his lesson. So all I had to do was teach his lesson. And you got the prophet right there, because he is a prophet, amen. I know that, right? But he messed up on one point. His illustration. His illustration. He had y'all going. And see, he could have really he had a lot to do it, but he could have really got y'all going. Because remember at the end, he said, I would have never told y'all that I messed up the race. And he get the points out for you. He proved that he wasn't perfect. You know, he's a priest, but he's not perfect. But I told y'all, and yeah, the girl was looking at me, and you know, she came up to me, and I knew I couldn't do it. But what is that scripture that y'all like to say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I won the race. Wouldn't that been a better finish? But he said no. He blew the race. He didn't get the girl either.
I got the girl.
Well, he got the other girl, but he didn't get that girl. Amen. But, brother, that was a powerful message last week. I really enjoyed it. You made Romans come alive. That was a blessing. Amen. So I appreciate you. They ain't nothing like listening. I'm telling you, see, I like to preach, but ain't nothing like listening to a good preacher. Amen.
Amen.
I listen to preaching all the time. I look, most of the messages I give y'all, they came from somebody else. Tell me somebody. It ain't copyrighted. It's God's word. You might hear that stuff. Oh my goodness, I gotta use that one. So be encouraged that God is a place for so preachers here that don't mind. Give you all the word of God. But today I want to get into the book of Psalms. I read 111 in the introduction, but I'm going to try to preach through 112. And the reason why I read 111 because 111 actually, 112 actually piggybacks on 111. So I gave you the first part of it. And really, it talks about the works of God and how awesome God is. That's what I want you to understand about all this pandemic stuff going on. Is that God is still awesome. Amen.
Yeah.
He is still awesome. And I want y'all to know that last February, whenever this stuff started, didn't catch God by surprise.
Amen.
He was ready. He already knew what was going to happen. He's still moving in the midst of all that's going on. And 112, though, think about something. Now, 111, the last stanza that I read for you says that pretty much that he sent redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever, and holy and awesome is his name. Amen?
Amen.
Holy and awesome is his name. Then look at verse stanza number 10. It says, the fear of the Lord, this is what I'm starting with, is the beginning of wisdom. And the brother turns like that. He probably got that in his book, don't you? Yeah, Jesus in his book. Y'all better get that book. It's in his book right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. I want to talk about what it means to be wise. I should read your book. What are you talking about? To be wise in these last and evil days. And there's three things you need to understand about wisdom and how you can get through this life. And it deals with relationships. Amen. It's all about relationships. I want to talk about three relationships that if you're wise and you're doing them God's way, you can get through anything. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. And it's all written down in Psalm 112. See, it's like 10 gives you an introduction to it. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so but then it goes down and look at stanza 1 in Psalm 112. And it says, so praise the Lord. And that word actually means hallelujah. Amen. It says, look, blessed is the man or the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. So you see how the 11 stops with fear the Lord, and then 12 kicks in by what? Praise him, and you're blessed if you do. You see that? And so what I want you to understand is there's three relationships that I'm going to go through in Psalm 112, and if you get these relationships right and understand them, you're going to have a better life. Amen. You're going to have a better life because you're going to be wise and how you're dealing with every situation that comes into your life. And the first thing you got to understand is that your first relationship you got to get right is with God. Amen. That's the first relationship you got to get right. And that's why he says, praise the Lord. That's why I'm telling you again, and I'm going through the Psalms all this year in this small personal devotion meditations because, see, what I found out is that in the Old Testament times, them folk went through a whole lot. And they were going through a whole lot. Amen. But the psalmist always found a reason to say praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just read the psalm. They all talk about praise the Lord. Hey, there's famine going on. Okay, praise the Lord. You know? You just got taken over. And you're going, they took you out of the promised land and taking you over Babylon. Praise the Lord. David just got taken out of his spirit, out of his house, and his son Absalom was trying to kill him. Praise the Lord. What he wants you to understand is that, see, you can always praise the Lord if you actually believe he's still in charge.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. Amen. That text in Romans started to come true, doesn't it? That all things what? Work together for the good, right? But there's another part that says for those who what? Who love him. So if you love him, you'll praise him. Amen. You see how it's connect together? Because you actually trust that he is still in. That no matter what's going on in your life, God's a good God.
Amen.
He's a loving God. And so when you got that relationship right, all of a sudden, all those things that used to bother you, they don't bother you like they used to. Amen. It's just, you look at things, you have a different perspective on things when your relationship is right with the Lord. Amen. That's wisdom. Amen. That's a wise way of looking at life. So your relationship, so my first point, I'm already into the text. My first point is a relationship with the Lord. It's got to be right. And so you can change that to your creator, to Christ. If you want to use C, I'll use some C's in here. But it's that relationship with the Lord. And so he says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord. And what he's talking about here, you're not scared of God.
Amen.
He said, no, but you reverence the Lord. Amen. You reverence God. Amen. In other words, you respect him, you honor him, you love him, you what? You fear the Lord. As a matter of fact, one of the wisest men who ever walked on this earth, his name was what? Solomon. And he wrote a fantastic book called Ecclesiastes. That new book? Ecclesiastes. And what he wanted to find out in Ecclesiastes, because the brother had all the money he could ever spend, amen? He had all the women he could ever love, amen? He had all the property he ever want, amen? He had everything. But you know what he found out? What did he find out? That it was what? It was all vanity. He says, there's got to be something more to this. He says, I got everything I could ever want and more, amen? There's got to be something else to this. And so that's what as you read Ecclesiastes, you see he's going through life and all these challenges and all burden and all. He's scouring the world trying to figure out what's the meaning of life. And then he gets to the end of the book and he writes in chapter 12, verse 13. Now I wrote it down here, but y'all almost got to turn that. Turn there. Go ahead, turn it. Oops. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. I get sophisticated, I'm having it on the screen. Amen. Amen. Then that make y'all lazy. So when you get home, read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. But look at start at verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. In this book. Look what he says. The conclusion of the whole matter, right? The end, matter of fact, I've done all, well, is this the end? Okay, I finally come to my senses and I found out what it is. Right? He says, out of all of this stuff in this world, he says, fear God and keep his commands. Isn't that amazing? For this is the whole duty. This is all that you should be doing. This is what really boils down to. If you really want to have a great life, he says, fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen? This is the whole duty of man. So your relationship with God is very important. Your reverence of God is very important. But he says you ought to understand one thing. You got to keep his commandments, right? Now go back to Psalm 112. And look at what he says. Blessed is the man who what? Who fears the Lord. And look what he says. He must take a page out of Solomon's book. He says what? And who greatly delights in his commandments. Now the word that stuck out to me there was greatly. In other words, what he's saying is you can't have a half-hearted relationship with God. Amen. It's something that you're throwing, that you're putting some effort into it, amen? You're diligent about seeking the Lord, why he may be found, amen? You're after God, amen? You're chasing God every day. Like, I thought, I want of you every day of my life. Amen. He said, greatly delights in his commandments. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of the first song. Doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, go to Psalm 1. I hope y'all don't mind going a little, because I don't have a whole lot to talk about, but if I can keep y'all turning, I'll waste some time. Amen. Psalm 1. All right, y'all there? Wait. Somebody already, y'all beat me there. I wasn't getting to preach. All right, y'all there? Okay. Look what it said. Blessed is the man. That sound like the other psalm, doesn't it? Man or woman, okay, put the woman there, okay, yo, I'm inclusive. And it says, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, who stands not in the way of the sinners, who sits not in the seat of the scornful, that covers everything, right? Walking, standing, sitting, got it all. But look, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and if his delight in the law of the Lord, guess what he does? He meditates on this thing when? Day and night. That means that he's of what? He's up in the word of God all day long. And the word of God is now up in him. Y'all got it? See, and that's what the psalmist wants you to understand. 112, he says that he greatly delights. In other words, he's not just, you know how we get sometimes, we get very pragmatic about this thing of, I got to get my devotion in the morning. You know, and I got my psalm, I read my psalm in the morning, I'm good for the day. Got my word. I prayed to the Lord. I've had my time, my quiet time. Okay, Lord, now the rest of the time is mine. Amen. Because I've done without, you know, preaching all the time. We got a quiet time in the morning. I've done that. I've gotten all. I'm praying and I'm doing. Okay, now it's time for me to really go out here and just rip this world apart. Have a great time. Now, he said, no. He said, no. You're blessed if you reverence God and he's with you all day long and you greatly delight yourself in his word. And what that actually means is if you actually delight yourself in his word, you will actually do his word. Amen. Don't tell me you delight in something that you ain't doing. Amen. Because I delight in going to Five Guys. Thought I'd wake y'all up. Every now and then, I don't go much as I used to. Because I'm getting older. You know, like they Popeyes like I used to. Remember, I used to say Popeyes. Popeyes hurt a brother. But Five Guys. Every I delight, and when I go in, and when I just go in there, I don't just go in there. Come on now. Give me the what? Give me the fries. Give me the burger. All the way without the mushrooms. Amen. And if I'm really feeling good, give me one of them shakes up in that joint. And I'm in there, and I'm into Five, like I'm in there. I'm greatly into Five Guys. In other words, I'm participating in the event of what? Satisfying my appetite. You got it? It's the same thing with the word of God. I get into the word of God, and I go into it with my whole heart, and I go into it, and I do all I can, and I satisfy my the word of God. And here's the key about that. When I go in Five Guys and I get the duck and I get the fries and I get the shake and I eat so much of it that guess what? I'm done. Right? I gotta push back. Go run a few to get some of that stuff off. I gotta work this stuff up because it'll hurt you. I'm telling you, don't let it sit. It'll hurt you. But you can only do so much of that. Amen. You can't just keep sitting there. Hey, give me another. No, you can't do that. Well, maybe some of y'all can. I'm not trying to get into your business, but I can't do that. Amen. But I can with the word of God. Do you know it's different than that physical appetite? This spiritual appetite is the more I get, the more I want. And the more I want, the more God gives me. Amen? Amen. And it just goes on, and I'm never actually full. Never. I can always go into it, and I always get the light from it, because it's the word of God. And all of a sudden, you have a relationship with the God of the word. And when it's all of you and you're all into it, it changes who you are and it affects who you are around. Amen. I want you to understand this. I'm telling you, having a great life, your great life should affect somebody else's life. Amen. And what happens is look what the psalmist said in verse 2. If you do what he said in verse 1, look what the effect is in verse 2. His offspring, his generation, his dependents, his children. You just pray about children today. You must know where I was going. His children. You see, and I talked to her earlier. That was all, but that's just the spirit of God. Amen. But the offspring, your children will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. In other words, because you are so much into God, it just permeates who you are. And all of a sudden, if you got children in your household, it is contagious. Amen. You don't have to ask your kids, are you going to church? They're asking you, hey, it's Sunday. What time are we going to church? Amen. Because that's who y'all are. And all of a sudden, it affects them and who they are and who they become. And guess what happens? They grow up. They do the same thing you did. And they have children. And guess what? Their children said the same thing to them because they're now the parent. And guess what? Then they have children. And it goes on. And on and on until somebody breaks the chain. Yeah. That's what God says. He said that his offspring will be mighty in the land. And guess what? And the generation of the upright will be blessed. This thing just goes on and on. So with your relationship with God, guess what? It affects your relationship with your children. Your children's relationship begins to be begin to muster word with God, and all of a sudden they don't just come to church because you come to church. Matter of fact, you stay home now, they still come to church. I saw that happen. Yeah, y'all weren't here, your children showed up. Amen. They just wanted to go to church. Amen. They wanted to be under the word of God so they can be in the word of God. And all of a sudden, they grew up. And they started coming to church and they brought their children and their children sang in the church choir, and they came in, and next thing you know, they just kept going on, and it kept going on, and all because you had your relationship right with God. Isn't that amazing? That's wisdom. And see, it didn't just start there. And if God got some time, they go to Deuteronomy 6. Look at Deuteronomy 6. It says that, I'm going to read this. Y'all can go ahead and turn it up. I'm already there now. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, and that you may fear. Look at that. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord, reverence, right? Fear the Lord your God in your son, in, look, you see that? In your son's son. I'm not making this stuff up. And your son's sons, and by keeping all the statutes of the commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. In other words, it's a commandment of blessing, isn't it? And I know what y'all said, because y'all are scholars of the word of God, and we kind of taught y'all some of these things. And you know what? But that was to Israel, because they thought Israel going, well, that's kind of true. But if you just go down, see, that was Deuteronomy 6, right? That was old. Go to the New Testament, Ephesians 6. Okay, go to Ephesians 6. And it said that they will be long. But Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Mm-hmm. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Look, this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So I think Paul caught that. He said, that thing is really happening over there. And Paul says, I don't want them to get confused and being just from Israel. He said, let me write this in Ephesians because they need to understand this is a commandment, a promise, and it's good for you too. Amen. Yeah, it's good for you too. So go back to 1:12. And so he said that basically, if your relationship right with God, blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who is greatly delighted in commandment. Guess what? Your offspring will be mine in the land, and a generation of upright will be blessed. In other words, this thing just keeps going on and on because you decide to have a right relationship with God. And I'm like, that's good news. That's good news.
You ought to get your relationship right. Amen. Don't be sending your kids to study school or church. You ought to get your relationship right. And all of a sudden, you realize that church is at home. Amen. That's where it starts. We're all here to supplement. Amen. What the family's already doing. Because we can't take your child for 1 hour and give them God. Amen. They get God from you. Amen. And so when you send your child here, and then all of a sudden they ain't act right at home, and you can't say, well, Pastor, can you talk to my child? I say, no, I'll talk to you. Because the problem ain't the child, the problem is you. Amen. You ain't here. You ain't studying. You ain't really delighting yourself or greatly delighting yourself in the commandments of the Lord. You probably not doing the things at home you're supposed to be doing. Why? Because that's where they're going to see it, and that's where they're going to catch. Amen. Yeah, all we do is supplement here. We like vitamin. We supplement. Amen. But all the nutrition comes from a hole. Amen. And your relationship with God has got to be right. I didn't even spend that much time on that one, but I'm trying to get to point number two now. I'm trying to get to this whole song. I might not make it now because I'm telling you, this thing is real. Because what happens is that when you fall in love with God, amen. People know it's real. Amen. And as you begin to grow up into God's word, we have this saying at the church we came from. He said that, how much do I love God? He said, as much as I know his word. God did that on the way home. How much do I love God? As much as I know his word. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, he says, keep his commandments. He said that, see, you can't get to love somebody you don't know. Amen. You can't look, come on now. Y'all might have some infatuation with them. Come on now. Like y'all see folk on TV. Oh, man, I love him. I ain't never met the brother in your life. Y'all know you fall in love with movie star. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my grace. That's infatuation. You don't even know that person. You meet them outside the screen in their real life. Oh, I hate that brother. I ain't know he acted like that. He's different on TV. Yeah, but see, you get to know God through his word. Amen. The more you read God's word, the more you get to know who God is. And you fall in love. I call it these 66 love letters. Amen. He sent them to us so we might fall in love with him. And find out who he really is. I like what 1 John 5:3 says. It says, because we love the Lord, his commandments are not burdens. You got that? See, because we love him, his commandments are not burdens. And I'm telling you, y'all take it from me, it will permeate your household and your kids will know it's real and they'll catch it right at home. Amen. Amen. What's the second relationship? Well, I believe that if we have wisdom, your second relationship you got to understand is we have to act accordingly in our relationship with the world. Amen. Our relationship with the Lord is first, but we have to act accordingly with our relationship with the world. In other words, how are we now supposed to live in this world? Amen. And what I mean by that is all that wealth that God has given you all. Amen. I saw the cars and y'all pulled up in the car. I know y'all got money. Amen. I seen your house. I know you got. I see, but God gave that to you for a reason. Amen. And that's what he talks about here. Look at verse stanza 3. And I might have to close on this one. We will see how far we get. Stan 3 says, wealth and riches are in his house. Amen. So I want to say to God, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man or woman who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Amen. Just understand it now. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted. Now, the reason why I say it's the relationship with the world, because all this is talking about materialistic things, right? And that's how you kind of understand where your relationship with the world, because what did God tell us in 1 John? He says what? Love not the what? And the things of the world, right? So when he talks about these riches and all that we have, he's really talking about how we relate to our relationship with how we deal with the stuff that God gives us in the world. Amen. And sometimes we get that thing skewed, right? We begin to talk foolishly, like, man, I love my car. What? You love your cousin. So when it's gone, what you gonna do? Because it's gonna go. Huh? You know, and we get materialistic, you know, my house, and we get all caught up in all this stuff, and our bank accounts and our 401 and all, and we get all caught up in that, and we lose our focus, and all of a sudden that relationship with God is kind of, you know, it's still there, but it's not like it used to be. Something else is taking its place, amen. And we don't want to understand it, but the commandment talks about calling us an idol. Amen. Yeah, you have idols in your life. You don't see people say, well, that's old. No, that's New Testament. Amen. It's like we got idols in our lives. Amen. It's materialistic things. And so your relationship with the world, you have to understand that. And what God wants you to understand is that he can tell how much you love him by how much you give away. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He knows how much you actually love him by how much you give away. You know why? Because the Bible says that God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And this text talks about the fact that, look, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns and darkness is upright, but look, he is gracious. Got that? You know what that means, right? Courteous and kind and pleasant, right? He's merciful. In other words, some of your Bible says he's compassionate, right? In other words, he wants to what? To see the burden of others relieved, right? And it says that he is righteous. And righteous means that he does what's right. He does what's good, what's morally good. And he does those things to what? Other people. Got it? Look at verse 5. It is well with the man or woman who deals what? Generously. You see that? And lends, and who conducts his affairs with justice. In other words, in those days, when they were talking about lending, you used to give people money and stuff, but you didn't charge usury. You didn't charge people, interest on that money. You would just give it to them and use it. Why? Because God gave it to you. Freely you received, freely you gave out, you know. But then you got to the point where you didn't even lend, you just gave it to them. Amen. Because what? It was something they needed, and you knew that it would be a hindrance for them trying to pay you back. But the key word there is generously. You are a giver. God's people are known by how much they give, not how much they take. Amen. We're givers. Why? Because we received freely. Everything we have, we got freely. It was a what? A gift of God. Amen. He said, well, but I worked for this. Well, yeah, you did, but how did you work for that? God gave you life, right? And he gives it to you every day. And you don't pay for that, right? So God gave that to you so that you could work. As a matter of fact, even the job that you have, God gave you that. Well, no, I interviewed for that job. Yeah, okay. But God gave you that. You can interview all you want to. If God did that job without you, guess what? You wouldn't have it. Amen. Amen? Yeah, so God actually, what he showed you, favor, and you actually got the job. Oh, but you got a raise last month. Oh, but God did that too. No, but what you understand is that all that you have, amen, came from God. Free. Amen. There is nothing that you have done that you can boast about. Paul talks about that, doesn't he? Yeah, you can't boast. You didn't do anything. God did it all through you. He gave it to you. Oh, I'm sorry. It cost him his son. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Everything that he had, he gave to you freely on the cross. Yeah. Amen. He gave his life that we might have life. Amen. And a right to the tree of life. Amen. And then he rose up again just so you would know that God accepted what Jesus did. And so now you are what? You in the money. Amen? Yeah, you sat. Because God accepted what Christ did. Why? Because the tomb is still empty. I'm just setting that up for Easter. Come on now. It's still empty. Amen? And so he's saying that because I gave you all that you have and you shall have, I want you to be like me. I was watching that documentary the other day, The Last Dance. Everybody wants to be like Mike. No, I want to be like Christ. Amen. And he said, if you want to be like me, you got to give generously. That's right, don't it? If you want to be like me, can we play some music? You got to give generously. Come on, I just got to do a rap song. I'll teach your relationship with the world to be to a point where people actually see you as a giver. Amen. As a giver, I'm talking about you're willing to give whatever needs to be given away that somebody else might be able to see Christ. Look at verse 9. I want to see that because, see, this is very important. He said that he has distributed freely. And all that God gave him, you remember that? Up there, see, y'all got hope on number 3. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. I ain't got that in my house. You just don't realize what you got. Amen. You don't understand that you could probably be the poorest person in the United States, but you're richer than anybody else in some parts of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah, you blessed. You are highly blessed and highly favored. But look what he said. He says, wealth and riches in my. See, we look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's me. That's good. But he's saying, I gave that to you so that people could see me and you by how much you give that stuff away. Look at verse 9. He says, he has distributed freely. He has given to the what? The poor. And some of those poor are saved. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. And people say, well, that doesn't make sense because he says that wealth and riches are in his house. But then why do we still have poor folks around there? Because what you don't get is you don't understand the family concept. They're only poor because you're letting them be poor. Come on now. Because if they really part of the family and you got it, they got it too. See, y'all see how this thing supposed to work as a family? No, y'all, no. Well, Pastor, you're going too far now. I can't. No, you can. If you understand what God has, why he's given you all that, you thought it was for you, didn't you? Yeah, it was for you to give. Amen? Yeah. He says, freely, generate. And he says, it got you born, you give to the poor. What? And so his righteousness. In other words, he said, you do it so well that guess what? Folk don't remember you when you're gone. Oh, yeah. That's what they want. See, folk don't remember stingy folk. Come on now. But when folk go out there and they give generously, all you hear about, oh, yeah, they did this, they did that. And you don't even know what they say. It doesn't matter as long as they did it. And God knows.
Amen.
Amen. God knows. See, when you go out there and give somebody and give you some props, all of a sudden, no, you did it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Some folks didn't even know you gave. Mm-hmm. Amen. But now, yo, people say, no, my name ain't anonymous. My name is, my name on that shirt. That is not, my name is not anonymous. I want them to know. I know what I'm talking about. But your relationship with the world should be as you are a giver. And see, people say, well, I keep reading, I'm going to do it one time. It says, look, verse 9, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, you got that, right? But that's Old Testament, right? Go to New Testament. Not Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 9. And you can remember it. You know why? Remember I just told you that was verse 9, right? So just remember 2 Corinthians 9:9. See, we're trying to teach up in here just a little bit, amen? 2 Corinthians 9:9. I know y'all said, well, he's going over today, but I wasn't here last week. I'm making up for that time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:9. Are you there? All right. Now look at let's start at verse 6. I'm going to get the 9:9. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9:6. That's this. It says that the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. It's a heart thing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a heart thing. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why I told you all, and you have never heard me, I've never preached in here about money. Don't have to.
Really?
I just want to change your soul. I want to change your heart. You'll give the way God has blessed you. Amen. I ain't got to preach about money around here. Unless the text says that, you know, but the text, you know. But it says, look, it says, for God loves you, forget what, and God is able. I love that take. God is able. He's able. Kirk Franklin, right?
All right.
Come on now. To make all grace, look, abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you ought to highlight that in your Bible, you may abound in every good work, as it is written. Hey, I thought that was in 1:12:9. It is. It's the exact same text. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Isn't that amazing? Paul loved Psalm 112. He had it in Ephesians. He got it in Corinthians. You know, we ought to love Psalm 112. Because what he wants you to understand is that God really does love a cheerful giver. And we are known in the world by how much we give. We ought to be known. Our relationship to the world is that, guess what? They are givers. They're not taking us. They always want to help out. They always want to give. They always want to do this. They are always out here trying to help folk. Why? Because that's what Christ did. Amen? Man, I can stay on this for another 5 minutes, but I can't. Because see, this is what confuses folk. Is that people are like the apostles. When you finish that statement? Because y'all are confused now, right? But they are people like the apostles. You remember when the rich young ruler came up? I know Eric remember that. The rich young ruler came up and the brothers said, I got all this stuff. And I said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go give it all away. You mean known by your giving. And that brother looked at Jesus and said, Lord, I love you, but I can't get rid of my stuff. And I'm looking at the rich young ruler right in this house. Huh? Come on now, y'all know some of y'all. Lord, you know my heart. Yeah, he knows what's wicked and deceitful. Amen. He could see, and when that brother did that, and Jesus said he went away sorry, but Jesus cried. Jesus had compassion for that brother. He knew he couldn't get rid of that stuff. His relationship with the world was too tight. It was so tight that God couldn't fit in. Amen. And the apostles, that's where they came in. They said, they scratched their head, Lord, well, who can get in? And you know why they said that? Because, see, we think the same way. We think that because people have money, God is love, that's a blessing from God. And that was one of the evidence in the Old Testament that they were. You remember how God had gave Job all that stuff, and he had all that stuff, and when he lost it, his friends came around and said, he must have did something wrong with God. That's why he lost his stuff. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, see, y'all, I read the Bible boys' word. And that's exactly what they were saying. He did something wrong with God. I don't care what he said. Because if he was right with God, he'd have all that stuff. Huh? Right? And know what they were saying?
Amen.
That's exactly what they said. And the apostles said, Lord, if he can't get in, how in the world we can? See, they equate that to blessing. No, you equate your generosity to blessing. The more he gives you, the more you want to give away. That's your blessing. Why? Because now you are in with Christ. Because he knows you are his. By how much you trust him and you're willing to give whatever he's allowed you to have, that people might see Christ in your life. That thing, look, I'm telling you, this song, and he said that, and look at verse 4. I'm still on verse 4. Stanza 4, go back to 12. Stanza 4. He said that in the midst of all this that's going on around us, you ought to be shining bright as the day. Because you're out there giving the folk who need. Huh? This pandemic has devastated folks and families. Amen? Amen? Amen. But some of y'all, some of us still looking okay. We, you know, check coming in, whether I go to work or not, help me somebody. Come on now, y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
dividends and stocks and all, you know, all this stuff coming in. Folk, if they used to work in restaurants, all that, the restaurant right across the street, what was the name of it? Atlantis, my favorite, went out of business. All the folk I used to know, because I'm there for lunch all the time, they don't have jobs. And here's a chance for us to shine. That's what verse 4 says. Look, light dawns in darkness. We ought to be shining in the midst of how the darker it gets. We ought to shine the brighter. For the upright, we're gracious, merciful, and righteous. We ought to be out here looking for opportunities to shine in the midst of the pandemic that we wouldn't have if the pandemic wasn't here. Gracious people, givers, amen? Dealing well with men, generously, lending, giving, and we do it all with justice, doing what is the right thing to do. And y'all know I could go on for that, but I gotta go on because y'all getting sleepy on me right now. And I'm just getting started. Just getting started. But our relationship with the world has got to change. And folk ought to know we're givers. And we're looking for opportunities in the midst of the bad times. We don't scare trouble. Amen. Well, that's what the next part says. See, the next part of it is your relationship with your own life. How do you deal with life? What is your relationship with life? In other words, the circumstance that happened in your life. How do you deal with that? What's your relationship with circumstance that comes into your life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 6. I'm going to get ready to close. For the righteous will never be moved. Amen? Is that enough? He will be remembered forever. Look at verse 7. Is this true about us? He or she is not afraid when bad news comes. Come on now. His or her heart is firm. Why? Trusting in the Lord. He or she has a steady heart. He or she will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. In other words, when trouble comes, they look it straight in the eye and say, I'm trusting in the Lord. That's wisdom. Right? Mm-hmm. With all my heart, not leading to my own understanding, because my understanding says I should be crying about now. I should be running for help. I should be doing this. But he said, no, I'm trusting in the Lord and I will not be moved. This is Black History Month. I remember they used to sing that song when they were down there at the bar and stuff, you know, the counters, they were sitting there, the sit-ins, all that, they were singing song, we will not be moved, we will not be, that's how far I know, that it was a good song, but they wanted to understand, we're not moving, why? We're standing steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord, knowing that what? My labor will not be in vain because it's in the Lord. And no matter what happens to me, he says, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. Got it? But I will be remembered forever. Why? Because when those things were happening, how many of y'all still remember Job? I wasn't even in church, and I knew about Job. Now, I called him Job, but it's a different story. Amen. I thought it was Job. I said, just Job. That's what I called him. But I knew about him. You know why? Because the brother would not be moved. His wife came to him and said, you ought to what? Curse God and die. He said, you speaking like a foolish woman. Amen. And he said that. It's in the Bible. I ain't making that up. Should I accept what? Should I accept good from God only? See, you got to understand that when life comes at you fast, I love that commercial. Amen. You're in good hands. Amen. But not with all state. Help me somebody. With Jesus Christ. Amen. And you got to get down there. And when hard times come, you got to remember Psalm 112. Amen. You got to remember that. That's what it said that. I will not be moved. It says the righteous, that's who you are, right? You are righteous in Christ, right? He imputed his righteousness to you. You are now the righteous in Christ. He says, well, for the right will never be moved. Why? Because they will trust in the Lord. They will not be afraid when bad news comes. What do you want you to understand then? Is the fact that you are in Christ, bad news is still going to come. Don't miss that part. See, some people get all cracked out. I'm in love. No, it's coming. Amen. That's why he put it in there. He said, this is the righteous. And when bad news comes to the right, he didn't say to not the right. He's telling you it's coming. Amen. He said, but when it comes, he says, your heart has already been what? Established. It's firm. It's what? It's been embedded in Christ. And so guess what? You can now handle, no matter what goes on, you are going to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the word of the Lord. Why? Because you don't have a double mind. You're not double minded. You're stay single minded.
Amen.
Amen. One of the words I found out of doing a study says that you have stability.
Amen.
Why do you have stability? You have stability because God has the ability. Got it? See, that's how you remember. You have stability because God has the ability. Why? Because he's still in control.
Amen.
And that's what he's saying here is that your heart is firm. It's trusting in the Lord. Your heart is steady. You will not be afraid. Got it? Now, you got to get this and understand what he's saying here. Is that you can trust in the Lord. Why? You're never going to be moved because you got a steady heart and you will not be afraid because you actually believe that God is God. You will not get there if you don't think he is. Now, anybody can play church on Sunday.
Amen.
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 But when the stuff hits the fan, when it's really happening and all of a sudden you are there and guess what? You ain't got nobody around you. Amen. And your phone just died. You can't even call or text nobody. Amen. You don't even have your Bible. But what you should do is you should have that word, what that I have hidden in my heart, that I will not sin. Like, in other words, I'm not going to make a spectacle out here that people can see me and see me falling all apart and say, see, I told you nothing about that, God. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all see, don't get it. See, what your relationship in life sometimes is different from your relationship with Christ. Because sometimes you act like you don't have Christ in your life.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that when these times come, they're coming. Don't forget, he says, when bad news comes. Yeah, it's coming. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand firm? You're not double-minded, are you? Because you're double-minded, you're out of stable. But you're stable. You ain't Christ. Well, let me give you another psalm that you ought to read. This will help you out. Psalm 27:14. It says this. It says that when these hard times come, it says, wait on the Lord.
Wait.
Amen. Look, she got it already. It says, wait, I say. But it says, what? Well, while you're waiting, you got to be of good courage.
Mm-hmm.
You know why you can be of good courage? Because you know God. Your first relationship is right. It always goes back to the first. If your first relationship is right, you'll wait. Yeah, you'll wait and you'll be of good courage. Why? And he will strengthen your heart. See, you can't do it. I don't want you to understand. You can, I know it sounds good. I know we get excited on Sunday, but you can't do it. It's the Spirit of God that brings you through. And you and I have to trust on him, even we don't understand. I don't understand, Lord, but I'm trusting you. It ain't going the way I want, but Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm trusting in you. Because I know you. Why? Because that's what I was doing when things weren't happening. I was in your word. I was praying. I was doing all those things, what? Preparing myself, hoping it never happened. But when it does happen, Lord, I want to make sure I shine my light on you. Because you're my God. So wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. He said again, I say again, what? Wait. Why did he say it twice? Because y'all anxious. Y'all anxious people. Y'all anxious. Y'all ain't gonna wait on the Lord. You're gonna wait. You're gonna be like, what was that king's name? First king. Saul. You're gonna be like Saul. Remember? What was the other guy's name? Samuel. He told Saul, he said, Saul, when you're in trouble, he said, I want you to go to someplace for 7 days, Gilgal. I want you to go to Gilgal for 7 days. He said, I want you to wait. He said, I'm going to come. I'm going to offer the sacrifice. Amen. The brother got there. The seventh day got there. And he didn't see no Samuel. And he felt the one that always beat up off themselves. Goliath. Who's Goliath's father? Come on, y'all messing me up. Y'all can help me on this thing. Philistine. Yeah. He said he felt the Philistines coming. He said, oh, Lord, I can't wait on the Lord no more. I know what Samuel said, but these boys are here. I'm offering my sacrifice to you. And he was not the priest. And soon as he got that barbecue up there, and he got that thing going, guess what? Samuel walked around the corner and said, what? What are you doing? He said, well, I waited 7 days, and I didn't see you. And y'all know me the same way. We get to that seventh day, and it ain't turned on the seventh day, and then the eighth day. And then after the eighth day, the ninth day, and we are not patient people. We get tired of waiting on the Lord. And we say, I'm going to fix this thing myself. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to fix this thing myself. And all of a sudden, God don't show up. You know why? And he said, well, you decide not to wait on me, I let you do your own thing. But when you're ready, come back to me. After you don't mess it up. Because I can mess up some stuff. I can already be in it. I can make it worse. Amen? But God is able. In my stupidity, grace. No, you got grace. I got grace on grace. Amen. I got the fullness of grace. That brother, look, the Lord has seen me do some stuff that if y'all knew about, y'all need to know. Because I know for a fact, if I turn the pages in your book the other way, come on now. Eric didn't tell the whole story last week. Come on now. He kept that thing Disneyland. Cool, y'all. Come on. We don't need to know everything. All we need to know is the truth. And that will set us free. And that Jesus has saved each and every one of us. And what? He has forgiven us of all of our sins. He has thrown into what? The sea of forgiveness, never to rise on us again. And that's all we need to know, right? That God is able. And he's keeping us. I know y'all want me to stop. I want to stop too, but I can't stop. I need one more. And not from the scripture. I was encouraged. I said, well, how can I give them a picture to understand this? And I was down at the beach house, and the sun came up. And I saw the sun, the S-U-N. Amen. And I started thinking, I said, oh, you know what? That's cool. Because what happened was is that the sun came up and the ocean began to reflect the sunlight. And I said, that is so cool. And I said, but dealing with relationship, what kind of relationship can I use? And he says, the moon. He says, when they think about the relationship, that I said, the relationship with the Lord, right? The relationship with the world, and the relationship with your life, your circumstances. He says, tell them about the sun and the moon. He says that when y'all see the moon, y'all think y'all are seeing the moon's light. Yeah, by the light of the silvery moon. You know that song? I love to sing to Monty, I'll swoon. That's not a good song. You know what? The moon doesn't have light. I had to look that thing up. The moon don't have a light. The moon's just a dark planet, doesn't have light. And the only time you can see the moon when it's reflected by the sun. Amen. So the only thing you can see in the moon is the reflection of the sun. So the relationship between the sun and the moon is nothing without the sun.
Somebody know where I'm going.
And so guess what? We ought to have that same relationship with Christ. Like the sun has with the moon. But not with the S-U-N, but with the S-O-N.
Amen.
And when people see us, we are nothing until what? We reflect the sun. The light of the sun. That's all. Y'all got that? I thought that was so cool. But that ain't mine. But it's mine now. Because when I thought about that, I said, you know what? That's what we got to get the church to understand. We ought to reflect the light of the sun. Because our relationship is with Christ. And when our relationship with Christ, our relationship with the Lord is right, our relationship with the world is right, and our relationship with our life situations is right, because we put everything in perspective and we trust God with our whole heart.
Amen.
Beloved, I hope something was said today to encourage you.
Amen.
That despite what you keep seeing on TV, that you're going to see about for the next few months, they keep trying to scare y'all. Amen. But let them know who really in charge. Amen. God is still in control, and our relationship with him is right. We are dealing with the world in the right way, and I know how to handle my life situation. Why? Because I give it all to God. He is the one I trust. That's wisdom. God, we thank you. Lord, we have such a great time to come together. I thank you for your wisdom in these books you've given us. God, may we understand about these relationships that you have placed us in and how we deal with this life that we're in. And may we always reflect you in all that we say and all that we do. That people might see our good works down here, but glorify our Father who is. We love you because you first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Elder Bradshaw, it's all yours, brother. Thank you for allowing me to use your pulpit.